This Sunday, we begin the season of Lent. And during this season, many of us here, and actively the whole of St. Cyril's, is using a book by Matthew Kelly called Rediscover Jesus. Basically, what we're doing is that if you haven't gotten a copy of it, by the way, you can get it at Amazon. I'm reading mine on Kindle, on the Amazon Kindle. But it has 40 chapters, which corresponds to the 40 days of Lent. And by the way, just for you to, a lot of people don't know this, Sundays are not part of Lent. If you count the days, if you take Lent is 6 weeks long, right? And then it starts on Ash Wednesday. So you have Ash Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's 4 days, right? And then 6 days times 6 weeks is 36, right? And you add 4, you get 40. Okay? You see, when Sundays are not counted in Lent. That's a little reprieve for you if you need it. So during the 40 days of Lent, we're going through this Rediscover Jesus. And looking at the first 7 chapters, which every week, basically, we'll be looking at 7 chapters, 6 or 7 chapters. The main question that is in those first chapters is a very simple, but it's a very profound one. You see, the very first one is a question that Jesus himself asked. And he asked his disciples. He said to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" Now, that question has resounded because, you see, the chief issue, I would say, the chief issue in the history of humankind is, who is Jesus? Who is he? It's not that he taught some wonderful things to love one another. It's not that, you know, he was a prophet, a nice guy, and stuff like that. Those are nice things. But you can't really face Jesus without answering that question. Who is he? Now, here's why that's so important. Now, I want you to imagine that you have a friend of yours. Let's imagine that you have a friend of yours. No one by the name of Jesus has ever come. But a friend of yours comes up to you and says, "I am the truth." Now, notice the difference here. This is not a person who is saying, "I know the truth." This is a person who's saying, "I am truth itself." How would you react? How would you react to a person actually telling you, "I am truth"? Or how about this? How about a person who would say to you, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you"? Or how about this one? "If you love your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife more than me, you're not worthy of me." Arrogant, isn't it? Sounds really arrogant. And you could keep on going. You could go to before Abraham came to be, I am. Now, here's the interesting part about this, that quote. Notice it, he's not saying I was. He is saying, before Abraham came to be, I am. Do you remember the name when Moses is standing? I love the scene in the Bible when Moses is standing in front of the burning bush. And God, out of the burning bush, says to Moses, go to Egypt and tell the people that I'm taking them out. And then Moses stands there and he says, who should I say is sending me? Nice question. Who should I say is sending me? He wants to know God's name. And God, out of the burning bush, says, tell them I am. Now, I always picture Moses going, can you finish the statement? I am. Yar what? Yar who? I am. What's missing in that sentence? There's a subject and a verb. No object. You see, what God was saying is, I am not an object. I am not anything. Do you realize that the statement, God is nothing, is true? God is no thing. He's nothing. God is. And when Jesus says, before Abraham came to be, and then what does he do? He takes the name of God and he applies it to himself. I am. Now you've got this guy before you. And this guy before you is saying these kinds of things. How do you respond? A great author in Christianity, whose name is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, look, you've got three options. First of all, the guy is a liar. He's not a great man. He is a dangerous man. He is trying to hoodwink you. He's a liar. And if he's lying, he is the worst of all humankind. Because at no time in all of history has someone perpetrated a lie to that extent, to where people have changed their lives and dedicated their lives for this man who turns out to be a fraud. If he is not who he says he is, he's a fraud. And he is the worst thing that could have happened to humankind. So he could be a liar. Or what's the second object, the second point? Well, let's say he's not intentionally lying. Let's say that he's crazy. He's a madman. I used to work before I entered the seminary, I used to work as an orderly in a psychiatric hospital. And I met people who thought they were God. I met them. And if you would have given them a lie detector test, they would have passed it. because they genuinely believed they were God. They were not lying. They were lunatics. They weren't lying. That's why when people say to me that they heard so-and-so say something and it was very sincere, sincerity has absolutely nothing to do with truth. Absolutely nothing. A person could sincerely be telling you what is totally false, and they believe it. A person can be sincere with you. A pharmacist can sincerely give you the wrong drug and kill you, but he was sincere. You're dead, but he was sincere. He was sincere. Sincerity and truth have nothing. That's why when people, you know, believe another person, oh, but he was so sincere. I don't care if he was sincere or not. And so a lunatic can be sincere. Maybe Jesus was a lunatic. So far we have two possibilities, a liar or a lunatic. And what's the third possibility that C.S. Lewis said? The third possibility is that he actually is who he says he is. And if that is true, it should scare it should scare you. It should scare you because before you stands your Creator. Before you stands the person who has your life in his hands. And so when Jesus asks that question, who do people say that I am? It's a very important question. It's a question that I think we have to ask ourselves. Because the question of who do people say that I am, who is Jesus, is totally tied to the question, does life have a meaning, or is it, as a good friend of mine says, just one damn thing after another? And the word damn, by the way, it's a good word to say in church. A lot of times we don't use it enough in church. Is life got a meaning? Does it have a meaning? Because if Jesus was a fraud or a liar or a lunatic, then Christianity, of course, is bonk. And then you got to start looking for other places, and there's not a lot left. I guess you could go to Islam or Judaism, but if Jesus isn't who he says he was, there isn't much there. Good luck. And in Buddhism or Hinduism, you're actually just a piece of dirt that happens to be clogged with spirit. The question really is down to the point of, does your life have any meaning whatsoever? And do we know what that meaning is? And who is Jesus? And that's what we're going to be doing throughout Lent. Because you see, it's answering that question. And I want you to understand this. A friend of mine says something that I think is really very important. He says, God saves us over time and in layers. And think about that. God saves us over time and in layers. Every year, I'm 66 years old. Every year feels like a circle. But every year, it feels like a circle that is moving deeper and closer to its end. It's kind of like this, a funnel. Imagine like a marble. If you threw a marble inside a funnel, it would do this, like this. And it would go round and round and round to the very bottom. If you think about it, our lives are kind of like that. You get started in the wide end and you've got a whole future ahead of you, but you're going around and around and the years go by and around, but as the years go by, you're getting older and older. And the older you get, the more you start to notice that you're getting close to the bottom. And when you get close to the bottom, the answer to the question, where is this whole merry-go-round going, becomes even more critical because you're going and going and going. And sooner or later, you're going to end up being very close to the bottom of the funnel. At each stage of those going around and around, the question is asked, what does life mean? Where is it all going? But it becomes much more acute the closer you get to the bottom of the funnel. Because you know that you don't have an infinite number of going around. That's why the church does Ash Wednesday, by the way. Ash Wednesday is not morbid. It's just the church saying to you, your life is being asked a question. The question that life is posing to you, and life, I don't care what it is, but life is posing a question to you. And the question is, what in the God's green earth are we doing here? And every time you go around the circle, as years go by, and you're getting closer to the bottom, the urgency of that question becomes more critical. Because you know that at the bottom of the funnel, there's dust. And the question is, are we going around and round for nothing? Or is there a future? And what the Christian community is doing during Lent is saying, there is a future. And we're not here just because it's one damn thing after another. And that there is a God who has come to give us hope. And that's why during this Lent, it is extremely important, at whatever level you or layer you are at, that you rediscover Jesus. Because let me tell you, ain't no other answer. Or, yeah, there is another answer. Life is meaningless. I think, truly, those are the two answers. The two answers. And so as we start on Lent, I invite you to get that book. If you haven't gotten it yet, look for it. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it. We ran out of English copies. We just ordered another 300. But what I want you to do is, throughout this Lent, just read one chapter per day. And at whatever layer you're at, take it seriously. Take it seriously and answer the question, who do people say that Jesus is? And as a matter of fact, it would be like watching Jesus looking at you and asking you specifically, who do you say that I am? Thank you for listening.